are in fact glad for the rain. We need it. I told you when I was less experienced, and when we have a gospel meeting as the one that begins tonight, and I see rain like this falling all night, I would fret and be concerned. No more so. The first gospel meeting we had on this ground, probably the largest tent meeting we have ever had here. We had just purchased the property and erected the building behind partially. No windows, no door. As I've shared with you over the years, that when we have service, we have to put chain through all the chairs and lock them up. You know. But the first gospel meeting, we contacted CAMP to loan us a tent, but there was no tent large enough. But at that time, Brother Palmer's brother, Adjutant Bailey, I imagine Brother Morrison, even though he was probably a little ahead of Brother Morrison probably would know him or know of him. Adjutant Bailey, he would do anything for the Lord's church. He knew Brother Walker and myself very well. His brother was Brother Palmer. They tried to put about three tents together to make one, but when you come and look on it, it looked like a Caliban. The soldiers did. He sent the soldiers too. The soldiers did their best. And the evening when the meeting started, and I was going to the hotel, rain started coming down. I felt like I was so discouraged. But by the time, brothers and sisters, I came back from the hotel and drove up here, I see people like Hans Green, Rice Green. I mean, people, just, you know. Of course, after about 2 days, we realized, well, from the first day, we realized that that tent, the three tents together, could not do. So we checked Jerry and Nephew, and their tent was advertising Jerry and Nephew Rum. That's right. But we used the tent anyway. The Americans that were here, they were sort of astonished over the fact that the big sign, Jerry and Nephew Rum, on it. Nice tent it was. But every night the gospel was preached in its purity under that tent. That was a great gospel meeting. Probably the best we have ever had. And we have never had as many baptisms since then as we had. I think it was a 2 or 3 weeks gospel meeting. So when I see rain like this, it doesn't bother me anymore. Thank God. God is in control. We ask again, we beg you to make sure that your presence is here each night to support the preaching of the gospel and to encourage the preacher and the unbelievers that will be coming out and the believers. Don't fail God. Rain or sunshine, try to be here and bring friends. Praise and worship. It might be the first part of a two-part lesson. Praise and worship. We hear a lot today and over the past 4 or 5 years, it probably be around longer than that, but so over the past 4, 5, 6 years that I've been hearing a lot about praise and worship. In today's religious setting, and in the denominational religious vocabulary, I repeat, in the wider religious world out there, their vocabulary, the words that are used sometimes, phrases that are coined to express religious leaning and tendency, these words and phrases sometimes, for those of us who sometimes find out the implication, you discover that there are phrases or words that can lead you into any direction you want to go religiously. I remember reading a book some years ago, and there was a character in the book, a young man. His friends usually bet, that's right, when he stood up, his friends usually bet on what direction he's going to go when he move off, because his feet were so big. So when he stand up, they would be betting whether he's going to go left, right, or wherever. Well, it's just like the religious phraseology used in the denominational world. It will take you in any direction you want to go. We hear there's a lot about the progressive, well, in the Lord's church. There are some who talk about they are the progressive element in the church. And you know, progress is a wonderful thing if you are progressing in the right direction. Always remember that. We are also out there in the religious world, people talk about the praise team. That is, in any congregation, you have a few people who designate themselves the praise team. We have also, we hear a lot today about praise dance. That's right. If Paul came around here and would ask, what is that? The praise dance. Because you see, men and women are trying to find in religion what they miss at the nightclub. That's right. That's right. We hear about women's empowerment. That's right. That is in the church. It's all good and well to have women's empowerment in politics. Yes, we want more women in politics and in the secular world, the talented people. But when it comes to the church, God has empowered each one of us in the place He wants us. But we hear about women's empowerment. We hear about praise and worship, which is the subject for today. We hear about, probably Brother Kidu might have mentioned it in his class. To those who are in Brother Kidu's class, we hear about the new hermeneutics. That's right. That means the principle of interpretation that we know to be so for centuries. Now, people are not satisfied. Theologians are not satisfied with that. So they now formulate their own way of interpreting the Bible, and that is called the new hermeneutics. We hear about unity in diversity. That is, we are diverse, we are different, but we are one. That's what Satan would like us to believe. These are some of the phrases and phraseology that are common in the religious world today. Many of these religious concoctions were designed to confuse and to mislead. You know, I think it was Paul who wrote that we must be careful how we are enticed, or we are misled by enticing word. True worship, first Christian, takes some interest in learning about the importance of, watch here, worship and your relationship with God. It's important that we understand that. That is the worth we give to God. The homage we regularly pay to Him because we recognize it is His due. The honor and the reverence that is given to God in prime time, not leftover time, because God does not want that. If you have time to be in worship, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, only when home work at the house is not making demand on you. If you have time to be in worship, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, men's class, ladies' class, only when your business interest is not making demand on you, then don't worship God at all. Because He does not accept that type of worship. From in the Old Testament, the Almighty God made it plain that He wanted the best. So men and women then were not allowed to give God the lame sheep. Huh? God, without apologizing, let His people know that He wants the spotless, the best. God has not changed. So when the Almighty God was telling us about His demand, the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, used the most honored relationship. He said, if you love mother, father, sister, brother, more than me, you are not worthy of me. You get it? You can't have it better than that. Your mother, your father, your sister, your wife, your husband. Huh? So when if we cannot put and don't realize that when the time that is set aside to honor God, to worship Him, as you know, as we have pointed out, the word worship comes from the old English, Anglo-Saxon English. Well, that's how we got it in English. Of course, it comes down from Greek, you know. It means to acknowledge or to show worth. In our case, we are showing and acknowledging God's worth. That's what worship is about. And the time that is set aside ought to be sacred time. Worship distinguishes God's people. It defines God's. It tells who God's people, who we are. Worship is important. God is a spirit, and anyone who worships Him must do it a particular way. That is telling us that worship is regulated. You cannot worship God just any and any way. True worship is man's response to God's goodness, God's kindness, God's care, God's mercy, God's grace, and God's sovereignty. I missed that, Brother Mitchell. You shouldn't, but thank you for telling me. True worship. When we say we worship God, it means we are responding to something good that we recognize God has done for us. It is a response. True worship is man's response to God's goodness. You're saying you acknowledge God's goodness when you worship Him. It's man's response to God's kindness. You are saying that you acknowledge God's kindness to you. You are saying that you recognize God's care. You're responding to His care. You are saying that you recognize God's mercy and grace. So you give Him worship as a response to that. Huh? You're saying you acknowledge God's sovereignty. That is His creative right. His creative right to expect of us what we can give to Him. Are we there? Psalms 103, the passage that was read. Let us hear a few verses in keeping with what I have just said. Let us hear a few verses.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my
soul.
Soul.
And all that is within me.
And all that is within me.
Bless His holy name.
Bless His holy name.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord. The word bless means you must give to God, you know. The word bless means honor God. Worship God. It's all about worship. Read on. Bless the Lord.
O my soul.
O my soul.
And forget not all His benefits.
Wait. You get the point? Worship is a response to God's benefit. It is a response to all the great and good and kind things that God has been doing for you. Are you 15 years old? Well, for 15 years He has been showing you kindness and goodness. Are you 20 years old? For 20 years He has been showing you goodness and kindness and grace. Are you 25 like I am? For 25 years He has been showing you goodness and kindness. Are you 40, 50, 60, 70? All these years, the fact that you are alive. Yes, there have been many challenges in your life, but you are still here. That's right. There were times when you didn't know how your rent or mortgage was going to be paid, but you have not slept outside. There are times when you need to buy an item of grocery and the funds wasn't there, but you have not starved to death. God has been kind to us. The passage the brother has under consideration is telling us that worship is a response to God's kindness. And unless you are ungrateful, unless you are an ingratitude person, you should be glad when the opportunity presents itself for you to worship God. Amen. And when the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," then he comes down to the point where he says, "Forget not all its benefits." That's worship. Because you have benefited from God's kindness, grace, and mercy. Let us hear what His benefits are, David.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities.
Brother Webb, David, his priority right. We are off on that. We do not put important place in their place. That's right. That's why we have so much problem with things like worship. I keep saying, members should line up when the time for worship comes. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Because we should be so anxious to come and say to God, "God, you have been so good and gracious and merciful to us. We are here to worship you." And we couldn't wait for the place of worship to be open. That's why we line up like this. That's right. Forget not all His kindness. But as I said, you notice the man had his priority in right place. Because the first thing he mentioned is the most important. The forgiveness of sin. That is responsible for all our problems. Sin. That's right. All our problems. Our problem with one another. Our problem with God. Our social, economic, health problems. Sin. So David did not put that for the last, the forgiveness of sin. Who forgiveth?
All thine iniquity.
All our sins are iniquity.
Who healeth?
All
thy diseases.
You notice that, Brother Mitchell, my health is not what it ought to be. Yes. And for so many of us, our health is not what we would want it to be. But thank God, we are still here. And we pray to God that He will give us better health. And He will choose how we respond to that. He is able. He is able. Remember, Paul had an illness that he referred to as thorn in the flesh. And he said he prayed to God three times about that one thing. And it is as if God says, Paul, you will have to live with that. Is it that God couldn't heal it? Far from so. God, whatever Paul's illness was, God could deal with it within seconds. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, with that illness, because I am with you and will strengthen you and guide you, you can live with that illness. For God's own reason, he decided not to heal Paul. Look on the man Paul. Has the Almighty God, has Jesus Christ ever had a greater witness? Yet, God decided for his own wise reason that Paul would live with his ailment. David said, the Almighty God heal our diseases. You know, one of the great things that we are learning now in health is that even some medical professional who have probably been in the business long, the younger medical professional realize that they get a little hint from they were in medical school that a lot of natural things no work. But a lot of the older doctors don't want to acknowledge that. And research upon research of some of the greatest institutions in the world is pointing out that one, natural things in so many cases do as good and sometimes even better job than the drugs. But that's not the other point, is that God made the body to heal itself. If you give the body what the body needs, God made the body to heal itself. What a great God. Who healeth all thy diseases?
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction?
Who redeem your life? And this is, we are faced, you and I faced with many dangers that sometimes we don't even realize how dangerous the danger was. Are you all here? Many of us don't realize how dangerous the danger was, but God kept us from them. Read on.
Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and the tender mercies.
Isn't that wonderful? That in spite of our offense against God, he still loves us. He's still kind to us. Wait. We would like to have gone through all of this psalm, but he's telling us here, these are some of the reasons why you should praise God. These are some of the reasons you should worship God gladly and willingly. Huh? True worship is a response to God's goodness, kindness, care, mercy, grace, and acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. Get this. We are living in a time, especially over the past 10, 15, 20 years. Well, probably longer than that. We are living in a time where the emphasis, where the focus of worship has shifted. Very important that you acknowledge and realize this. The focus of worship has shifted from God to man, the worshiper. And this is a problem. The focus, the emphasis of worship, as I'm going to show, that worship was meant by God, that is true worship, to be all and totally about God. But over the past 10, 20, 30 years, little, and it didn't take place overnight, and it is happening more and more, where men and women do not look forward to coming out to give to God, they look forward to coming out to receive something. Did you know that worship was never meant? That is the larger, more important emphasis. It was never meant for us to worship God in order to necessarily get. It was meant for us to come as a result of the things David listed and more. We must come to give. So today, the emphasis had shifted from God, and man is now. Wait, just an illustration. Just watch this. And test, because this is something I've observed for many years. Test it. When men and women talk about the lack of organ or piano, instrument of music in the Lord's church, when they tell how disappointed they were and want to argue about it, that they don't like to worship without it, notice where the emphasis is. It's always what it does to them. It's never argued on what it does to God. Put it to test. As you and your friends, co-workers, neighbors, whoever you are teaching and you are discussing worship, when a person argues for the organ, the piano, or whatever, notice it is about what the music does to them. And you may not realize it, but that is telling a lot about how worship, the emphasis has shifted from God towards man's own satisfaction. Are we there? The Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, has shown that true worship, I say true worship, is primarily an occasion to give. Honor, praise, and worth to God, being guided by His Word. Let me repeat that. My mind tells me that you weren't paying as much attention, and it's important that you get this. I just said that the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, has shown over and over plainly that true worship, the primary emphasis, focus of any true worship, are we there? Is to give honor to the Almighty God, is to give praise to the Almighty God, is to give or to acknowledge God's worth, guided by His Word. But modern so-called worshipper see worship largely as an occasion to get something for themselves. Modern worshiper. This is why, one, I should have prayer, but next week I'll bring it, to quote from one of our brothers, Dr. P. Lewis, who pointed out that if men and women were assembling themselves to truly pay homage and worship God, you would never hear so much criticism about worship. And that is a fact. That men and women wouldn't have time to criticize. I didn't get anything out of worship. Whenever you hear people say that, ask them, always remember, what did you give to worship? In fact, I have three questions coming up. I'm not even sure I'll cover them in this lesson. Three important questions. I'll be showing that two of them need not be asked if we are coming out to worship God. You see, true worship, as I've said, is to give. It's an occasion where we give praise, honor, worth to God. But modern men see coming out. They see to serve primarily the purpose of them getting something rather than giving. Worship is an occasion to serve themselves rather than serving God. That's how much it has shifted today. The popularity of the so-called praise and worship. In fact, you know, I'm going to just show you a few things. The popularity today of this business, praise and worship, is not based on what that praise and worship does for God. No. It is what it does for the so-called worshiper. Listen, the person who will ask you about, do you all have praise and worship? Or the person would say, you know, I expect praise and worship. You see, it's that point in the so-called worship where the worshiper does what nice them, what entertain them, what stir their emotion. You know, it's that point in, it's like they are saying, well, now we are setting this time of worship aside to worship ourselves. The rest is for God. You see, that's what they call praise and worship. And you listen. I like to ask people about, tell me about, you know, a person will come to church and you are informed that they're disappointed we did not praise and worship. And before I say anything, I give them a chance to tell me more about praise and worship. And in all cases, what you discover is that the emphasis is what they didn't get, or what they like, or what they want. God not coming there at all. You see. Ladies and gentlemen, may I show you something? That when people talk about praise and worship today, like it is something new, just being discovered. May I? We have been praising and worship God from the Old Testament for that reason. That's right. We have just praised and worshiped God this morning. And we are still doing it now by permitting Him to speak to us. Let me just give you an example. Let me just give you an example. And you know, I'm just getting really introducing the lesson. That's right, just getting warm up. But I discover that just I'm getting warm up, I have to cool down. God, time is running. Let me just give you. Look at Psalm 66. Verse 4, verse 8, verse 13.
All the earth.
Oh, hold it for me, brother. Praise and worship. Watch here now. You see, when you hear about this, you know, as I've said, okay, when I hear these terms, like it's something new, something just discovered, something just revealed, something men and women are just doing. No. As long as there been worship, it includes praising and paying homage to God. Listen, did I say 66 of the book of Psalms?
Psalm 66, verse 4, 8.
Verse 4.
All the earth shall worship thee,
mm-hmm,
and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name.
Verse 8.
O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard.
Now, you notice verse 4 talk about worship. Huh? You didn't notice that. The brothers just read it. And verse 8 talk about praise. This is not two different things, you know. The word worship in verse 4 and the word praise in verse 8. These two verses are not talking about two different things. Because when you praise God, you worship Him. And when you worship God, you praise Him, you uplift Him. So it's not talking about two different things. Sometimes one word is used different from the other because the other word used is just explaining what the other one implies. Look at Psalms 100. Now, verse 1 through verse 4.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands.
Notice joyful noise.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Come
before his presence with singing.
Notice the word singing. Read on.
Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves.
Read on.
We are His people and the sheep of His pasture.
Read on.
Enter into His gates with thanksgiving.
Notice the word thanks. The brother is at verse 4. Notice the word thanksgiving. Read.
And into His courts with praise.
Notice the word praise. Read on.
Be thankful unto Him and bless His name.
Notice now, I'm just showing you, you know, people can mislead you. Joyful noise and singing, I see a thing. That's right. When you sing, you praise God. Thanksgiving is also worship. That's verse 4. Praise in verse 4 is worship. Bless His name in verse 4 is worship. All these words. Joyful noise, singing, thanksgiving, praise, bless His name. All these words, they are emphasizing the worth you give to God. They are all about worship. So when people come along, praise and worship. You all don't do praise and worship. Tell them we have been doing it from when, not when. But you see, what they meant is that, have you set aside some time to entertain the worshiper? I haven't gotten in that yet, you know, about the entertainment part of worship. And right now it seems I'll have to end here. May I? Brothers and sisters, let me just, well, no, because it's so important. I want to point out, and this will come up in the second half of the lesson next week, God's willing, that the word worship is a verb. And you may say, yes, Brother Mitchell, what's the big thing? It is a big thing. Because a verb is a doing word. It's an action word. And what we're going to learn is the very loadedness in the fact that to worship is a verb, what it implies in respect to whether worship, we must come out to expect something, or we must come out to do something. But next week we will get into that. Next week we will also get into, if God is willing, a point that came up in Wednesday night lesson, that no man or woman can truly worship God outside of a right relationship with God. Wait, outside of the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, the church. Did you all get that? That sound foolishness, Brother Mitchell. Well, it would be God's foolishness, which is wiser than man. Yes, we are going to, when we pick up on this lesson, we are going to talk more about praise and worship and some of the drift away from worship from God to man. But the fact that only a child of God who is in a relationship with God, who is a part of the household of faith, can really worship God. You see, the Almighty God Yes, the brother is fixing up his invitation song. That's why you stay silent to give him a chance to finish finding it. The Almighty God first wants you before he wants yours. It's a principle. I beg that you remember that. He wants you. You know, the more I talk, the more I want to say, the more I want to just point out about the rich man. When God said tonight, it wasn't your house is required of you, your money is required of you, and your farm is required of you. Your soul, that is you, your soul. So don't plan to give God worship, or don't think you can give him worship when you have not first given him yourself. We will look on some passages next week, including the passage of Hebrews, I think it was chapter 12 and verse 28, or somewhere there. You don't have to look on it now, but that will be coming up. You cannot worship God outside of being in his family, being one of his priests. That's right. Brothers and sisters, again, let us recognize that worship is important in respect to a healthy relationship with God. Let us try to learn more about worship with the help of the Almighty God. Today, if you are here and if you are not a child of God, before your worship can be acceptable in the sight of God, you must be a child of God. And right now, the Almighty God calls you through the preaching of His Word. Where He encourage you, appeal to your intelligence and common sense, that you need Christ because you have sinned. It matters not how decent and nice you are. You need Jesus Christ for your forgiveness. Forgiveness is available through no other means other than in Christ. To get in Christ, you must believe and accept His word. You must repent of your sin, turn from them. You must confess faith in Christ. Meaning you must not be ashamed of Christ. And you must be immersed, be baptized. Remember, sprinkling is not baptism. Sprinkling qualifies you to become a member of a man-made religious institution. It does not meet God's requirement. And God's requirement must be met before you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven this morning if you will step forward and respond to God's invitation of love in Christ. As we stand, Jesus Christ calls.